Well, good evening. Oh my goodness. I was told that Perth was a kind of lively place, you know, where people really get it. So let's try again. Good evening. I haven't even started with any hard questions yet. It's great to be here and just to see people coming together in Jesus' name and standing shoulder to shoulder and believing that we actually need one another and that God has gifted and called each one of us to be part of the jigsaw that he has placed together in this city to see it transformed. And so often we're really, really negative about the church, and we're always finding faults with one another, and we can all pick out stuff, can't we, about the way in which we all do things. But actually to be able to say, you know what, God loves each one of us in exactly the same measure. And God has poured out gifts on each one of us. And God has called each one of us to be part of his kingdom advancing across this city. And God is saying to each one of us, this is your time and your moment. This is your chance to step into what God has for you. And I get so tired of all the negativity about church. I just want to say, isn't it fantastic that church is a miracle of God's grace? You are the miracle of God's grace. And God looks down upon you and loves you, despite the fact that we mess up all the time. And in the next 20 minutes or stuff, I'm going to mess up lots of times. But despite that, God loves you. He's pursued you with his love. He's poured out his love upon you. He's constantly pouring out grace and mercy and favor onto your life. And together, we make this amazing mosaic of God's grace and his goodness. And the picture isn't really full, is it? Until we're all actually standing shoulder to shoulder, fitting together for whatever God's great picture is. And sometimes the picture isn't whole because we refuse to put our part in it. So I just love this. If you could see, maybe we should just get everybody to come up and have a look, but then there'd be nobody sitting there, so it wouldn't be worth looking, wouldn't it? But to see people standing up and signing a book saying, we actually belong together, despite the fact we do church differently, despite the fact that we've got different things that we're really, really passionate about, the thing we're most passionate about is Jesus. And Jesus is the thing who holds us together. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And if you expect me to talk really about much else, then you're not going to, because I think what Scotland needs to hear is all about Jesus. What the church needs to be passionate about is it needs to be passionate all about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And so often church has been about other stuff. And I think in this day and this generation, it's to get past the other stuff and say we're a Jesus people, about Jesus' kingdom, about Jesus' lordship, about Jesus' grace, about Jesus' forgiveness, about Jesus' power to heal, to save, to reach the lost. It's about Jesus. Does that make sense, the folks? It's about Jesus. It's amazing how I love this place. Hey, there's no clock. Oh, you're a beauty. Hey, I'm actually a speaker in a place there's no clock. So, I can take my watch off. There's lots of meaningless things happening in a church, but no more meaningless thing than a preacher taking a watch off, is there? But I'll do that anyway. There are things that happen in our lives that God uses specifically to really challenge us, isn't there? When we're going in one direction and thinking in one way, and suddenly something happens that makes you think totally in a different way, challenges the paradigm in which you're living and thinking. This happened to me about 20 years ago. I was at a party, and I ended up standing next to a girl called Sarah, Sarah was a goth. And she was totally in black with purple makeup on, had more jewelry than you're likely to see in Ernest Jones' window as you're kind of walking past. And we're kind of sitting there chatting to one another. And I asked her what she did. She was a barmaid in Perth. And she said to me, "What is it you do? You know, if ever there's a conversation killer, is there?" Is to say, "You know, actually, I'm a church minister." As she kind of looked in her vodka and iron brew, it's kind of Scotland's other national drink. So I get round that by saying, "Oh, I'm a spiritual consultant." And she's like, "Yeah, that's pretty cool." "So, oh, spiritual consultant, what's that then?" "Well, it's actually running a church." Hadn't thought further ahead than the first cool line. And so we got chatting, and Sarah's a single mum, lived in the centre of Perth. I invited her round for tea. Here's a tip in advance. It's always worth letting your wife or partner know that you're inviting folks for tea before you actually show up with them. But we did, and we got to know Sarah really well, and I was telling her all about the love of Jesus, and I was really praying she was going to come to church. And then one November day, Sarah turned up at the church. It was a bit like today without the snow. You know, it was just absolutely chucking it, you know, and pouring down, hitting the ground and bouncing back up again and soaking you the other way up as well. And she's standing there with her daughter and her hand at the door. And I'm saying, "God, please, will you make one of the nice folks in our church be the first person that she speaks to?" Now, I'm sure that in your churches, everybody's nice, and everybody just naturally warm to a soaking wet goth holding hands with a daughter. But there was one or two folks in our church that maybe that would have been a step for them. But they did, they met a really lovely couple in our church, and they sat through the service and stuff. And I was really, really excited. And I thought, you know, yeah, she's going to love this. And so the next week I met her for a coffee in town and said, "So what do you think about church?" And she said this: "Church really isn't for people like me, is it? Church really isn't for people like me, is it?" I didn't really understand what was going on. So felt a bit uncomfortable because nobody really kind of looked like me in it. I just didn't make sense of what was happening round about. Church really isn't for me. And I chatted to her, and after I'd got over that shock, and we kept in touch for quite a while. And then as months went on, Sarah's life became tougher. Things started to go wrong for her. And then I got a phone call about 3 o'clock in the morning from Sarah's dad saying Sarah decided the best thing she could do with her life was to take it. And she did. And I remember taking Sarah's funeral in the pouring rain in Perth Cemetery with the words in my mind, "Church is not for people like me, is it?" And saying to God, "If church is not for the people like Sarah, it has no reason to exist. If church cannot offer hope and healing and identity and purpose for the Sarahs of this world, we should just close the doors. You know, we should just jack it in and stop messing around. If we have not got something that can bring transformation and hope to people on the margins, then we should just stop it. Stop it." And that radically changed the way I kind of thought about a church. And for the next year almost, I spent my whole time kind of wrestling with what was church? What was church supposed to be? What is it supposed to look like? What was church in the heart of God, really? And was what I was doing as church anything like what church might be in the heart of God? And I was thrown for that whole time just reading through all Luke's writing. And I found some things both in Luke and in the book of Acts. I found that in Luke's gospel, everybody who is invited, who is an insider, is challenged to become an outsider. And everybody who's an outsider is invited to become an insider. It is the upside-down kingdom. Everybody who thought they had it, who understood it, who grasped it, is sent out. And everybody who looks as though they have no place, they have no status, they have no value, they have no worth, are invited to come in. It's great. Don't you love it? You love it. Good news for those on the margins. The doors to the heart of God are open. Come on in. Come on in. And I really spent a lot of time reading the book of Acts. I don't know how many times. And I kept coming upon the verses at the end of Acts chapter 2 that Anne read. And I just want to pick out two or three things really quickly from that to reflect upon as the church in this day and age, as the church in the changing landscape that is Scotland for the faith community. What are the things in that group of people, that first church as they gathered, that they did naturally, spontaneously? What is it there that can reflect upon for us? First thing is this. The church was born and sustained out of an encounter with God. Seems so simple to say it. I'm almost embarrassed to say it at such a kind of gathering as this. Church exists because, you know, a whole group of folks all came into the one city at the same time. All came from different places with different languages and backgrounds, all up to worship at a festival at the same time. They all had this basic same theology. They're all there, families, kids, older people, all brought together for that time in Jerusalem. And while they're there, Peter goes and preaches to them, and the Holy Spirit falls upon them. And suddenly the theology that they had is blown apart. And they see Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And in that encounter through the Holy Spirit, the church is born into existence. It's about the encounter with God. You can't get anywhere as church without the encounter with God. You can't do anything in Christian life if it doesn't flow out of an ongoing encounter with the presence of God. It's through God that we then engage with the world, isn't it? It's encounter and then engagement. It's the meeting with God that shapes us and moves us to be whatever God has called us to be within the world. It's encounter with God that sets us apart as the people of God. So let me ask you, how's your encounter going? When was the last time you really felt the close presence of God in your life? When was the last time when you were praying that you really heard God speak? When was the last time that you just wanted to celebrate and jump around? Hopefully where nobody can see you. Because you just recognize God's goodness for you. When was the last time you were kind of stopped and thought, God's love is overwhelming. Forgiveness of God is overwhelming my life. How is your encounter going? Because everything else we do as church is going to be based on the encounter with God. It's what makes us who we are. What makes us who we are is not the things we do. Other people do most of the things we do. What makes us the people of God is who we know and who has shaped our lives. I heard somebody say once, it's possible to have 20 years experience of the presence of God, or 1 year's experience of the presence of God 20 times. Meaning that the best year you had in your relationship with God was your first one. God calls for intimacy with his people. God calls for passion with his people. How's your passion for Jesus tonight? How is it? Is it all in the past? Is it here in the present? Is Jesus everything, really? Once they had that encounter and they became a church, the first thing that's said about this first church is this. they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to prayer. I've often wondered about that. You know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why is that the first mark? You know, why is that said there? And this is what I think. This is why I think it's said. They needed to be able to root themselves in the story of God's redemptive purposes. They needed to try and understand what had happened to them and why God had placed them where they were and what, try and make sense of this amazing thing that had happened in their lives. And the only way they could make sense of it was if they understood what God had actually been doing and where their life fitted into that big, amazing plan. The writer Christopher Wright says the apostles' teaching is essentially creation, the fall, salvation, and recreation. And it's in that big scope of the mission plan of the greatness of God that they were able to root themselves. I don't think they were sitting there saying, you know, give us 4 points all beginning with the same letters, Peter, and we'll grasp it. I think they were hanging out saying, tell us another Jesus story. Tell us another story. Who Jesus was. What did he say? What did he mean by that? What did that look like? Why did Jesus, who is perfect, touch a leper? What is that about? Tell us what that means. Tell us what Jesus' plan was. Peter, tell us why you denied and ran away. The power of the story. There are thousands and thousands of people in Scotland who have never heard the stories. Ever heard the stories. We live in a mission field. Time to unleash the stories, isn't it? Time to unleash the stories. Time to just let them speak afresh again. I'd love to see churches open and just have a couple of storytellers up the front. Just telling the Jesus story. Maybe you do that in Dundee already. Just take some stories of Jesus and just tell them, invite people in for tea or coffee or breakfast and just tell Jesus stories, because there's power in the apostles' teaching of who Jesus is. And why are we embarrassed about that? Why are we embarrassed about Jesus' story? We need to unleash it. When's the last time you told anybody a Jesus story? Apart from up front here, I just mean kind of one-to-one. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about somebody who's so mental that they leave 99 sheep and go after one. Let me tell you a story about that and where you find yourself in it. They devoted themselves to prayer, and I need to watch my time at this point, but I just want to say this. I absolutely believe that Scotland will change when Christians understand that prayer changes stuff. I don't understand the whole theology of it. I don't know how and why God does it. I don't know what my part in it and God's part is. You can tell that I learned a lot through my degree in Glasgow Uni, can't you? I know nothing about anything. But I know this, that Scotland needs a Christian people who spend a lot of time on their knees before him and are weighed down with a concern for the state of those all round about us and passionately want to pray and seek God do stuff in the lives of individual people. If ever there was a time for the church to be on their knees, this is it. This is it. And then let me finish with this. They had an attitude of gratitude. With glad and sincere hearts, they give thanks unto God, and they had the favor of all people. I love that attitude of gratitude. Years and years ago, when I was still really small, I mean, I've always been really small, but when I was really, really small, used to be an advert on the TV and it was about Ascot powders. Does anybody remember Ascot powders? Anybody? Yeah, yeah. Well, that advert was called the Ascot Miseries. So if you've never seen this, you just bear with me, right? So there's a kind of a cartoony version of the flu would come on, and then one of the cold, and then one of a sore throat or whatever it was. And the idea was that these are all the kind of miseries, and the Ascot powders are stronger than them all, right? And I've sometimes come away from church stuff, and I've been able to name the Ascot miseries, right? I've been able to put faces to people whose whole attitude to me has been like an Ascot misery. It goes like this. I've tried that. Yeah. Way back in 1967, somebody came up with that idea. Wasn't it a good idea then? Still no a good idea. Or you're never going to try and do that, are you? Nobody will go for that. And so it goes on, and so it goes on. I don't know. Don't know. Yeah. That's them at their most optimistic, isn't it? How have we become that? How have we become that? With glad and sincere hearts. You see, the mark of the early church is this. Thankfulness at what God has done and blessing towards people that God wants to reach. It's thankfulness and blessing. It's living, receiving the blessing of God on yourself so you can be a blessing to other people. And you bless the city because you have been blessed by God. And you reach out to people because God has reached out to you. And you forgive people because God has forgiven you. And you live in an attitude of gratitude to God that makes you a blessing wherever you're going because you're carrying a different attitude to the world. We've got to rediscover that, haven't we? We've got to break the chains of negativism and misery and a lack of faith spirit that says this can't possibly be done. Oh, really? Well, let me tell you something. I believe in a God for whom all things are possible. What do you mean this can't happen? If it's in the will of God, it can happen. It can happen. So they were a grateful, happy, thankful people. Doesn't mean their life was easy. It wasn't easy. Didn't mean they weren't going to suffer. They were going to suffer. But in the midst of it, their encounter with God meant they had a thankful heart. Thankful heart. What am I saying to you tonight? I'm saying this is a new season in Scotland. The landscape has changed. It's calling for individual people to stand together and to say, you know what, no longer, not on my watch, no longer am I going to be negative about other people. No longer am I going to have a sort of spirit that kills faith rather than sets it up. No longer am I going to live in the encounter that I've got. I'm going to press in for more of God and I'm going to make a difference. And you know what, it only takes the one. Only takes the one to start creating a new bar. A new set of possibilities, a new dream or vision. Only takes one to say, I'm not living like this anymore. God has more for me than this. Does God have more for you than you're living in at the moment? Does God have more for your church? Does God have more for Dundee than you've experienced so far? I finish with my favourite story of the moment. It's kind of a sad story, but it's a good story as well. It's a guy in the States who was dying of a really fast attacking cancer, so that 85% of his lungs were severely damaged. And he was told he had about 3 months to live, and he was a huge Star Wars fan. Don't know if you've seen this online. He wanted to live long enough to see the new Star Wars movie, December the 18th or whatever it is. That was his whole goal to survive there. So he goes to the hospital, and the doctors say to him, actually, you're not going to survive till it comes out. And he's really, really hurt by it. It's kind of totally deflated. And his wife says to him, why don't you put online why you love Star Wars? And I'm just going to download it. And so he does from his hospital bed, and he's got the kind of, all the tubes in and stuff, and he says, why I love Star Wars, and it's taking him to another place, and it's been about good overcoming evil and all these kind of things. She puts it on social media, and it gets hundreds of thousands of hits in a couple of weeks. And Mark Hamill, who's the original Luke Skywalker, if you're into these films, if you're not interested in this, you've switched off already, I know that, but Luke Skywalker, he sees it online, and so does somebody else from the production team, and they go to J.J. Abrams, who's the producer-director of the new one, and say, what are the possibilities of allowing this person to see this film? And it's a long story, but the shortened version is that in his hospital room, the Sony production team turn up and say, nobody outside of the cast and whatever have seen this. It's the unedited version of the new Star Wars film. We want you to see it. And there in this hospital, actually read that he died just last weekend, but there in the hospital room, he gets to see, with one or two of the stars and with the director, get to see the movie in front. Why? Why? Because one person wouldn't settle for the way it was. Because one person said, you know, I could make a difference. I'm just going to try. I'm just going to put it out there and see if somebody understands this. And see what happens. You see, you can either allow your circumstances to dictate your actions, or your actions start to dictate your circumstances. And God is calling on a people who will say, you know what? God is able. And that will start to dictate my circumstances, not the other way around. I will not put God in the box of my circumstances. I'll allow God to break me out of that box. What would happen in Dundee if God broke out of all the boxes? The possibilities are endless. Let me just pray with you. It'd be great. Would you like to stand with me? That'd be great. If don't feel you've got to, but if you want to stand, that'd be good. Lord, I want to pray for those of us whose encounter with you is at a low ebb. Those who have been under pressure. Those who, even in this room, in this moment, have been struggling. Passion for you has just diminished. Will you reignite the flame, O God, that we might know afresh your forgiveness and your awe-inspiring love for us? Will you speak into our hearts, into our minds, even now in this moment? And God, if there is anybody here who has never encountered your presence, who's been brought along tonight, who's turned up, who's been hanging around church, might you speak into their lives now, God, we pray. Will you allow them to see that you are Lord and Savior, and that you have died for them? And Lord, for those of us who have faced the negativity, the words that have kept us back, that have shaped us, that that have stung us and hurt us and bruised us? Will you restore to us the joy of our salvation? Restore to us the wonder of that first love. Restore to us the vision and the passion that we once had for you. And I pray, God, for the church in Dundee, that you would call it forth. Give it new life, new vision, new encouragement, new boldness, new creativity, God, new creativity. That in the darkest places in this city, the light will shine brightest, not dictated by our circumstances, but our faith and our life changing circumstances. Gracious God, will you pour out your Holy Spirit, renew your church, in Jesus' name. Amen.